Hello and a very, very warm welcome to a very, very special episode of the Gestalten podcast. My name is Martin. I'm the managing director here at Concept House. And I have not Eric with me this time. I have a lovely chap that I've known for, you know, quite a few years by now already. And we want to talk about a very, very special topic. But first of all, before we get to the topic, hello and welcome, Quirin Friedl.
Hello.
Who is the, is that right, the head of visualization?
If you want to say that. Yeah. So my name is Quirin Friedl and me and my team, we take care about the visualization at Byton.
That's pretty much what we're going to start off with. And before we start talking about our topic, which will be VR within a design department, I want to talk a little bit about Byton first, because Byton is about like, what, 2.5, 3 years old now?
Two and a half.
You guys have shown two cars so far?
Two show cars, in that exactly. Sense.
And so yeah, tell us a little bit more about yourself, what you've done before, so that we get a little bit of an idea. And also, you know, how is your journey at Byton going so far?
Very well, yeah. So I studied industrial design and I've always been 3D guy, wanted to do 3D graphics all my life. And after university, I started at a big service supplier, working a lot for BMW, also modeling. And then I made a very interesting journey to RTT, working in configuration pipelines for Volkswagen and Audi. And then we started producing a lot of augmented reality apps and virtual reality apps in the B2B world. And from there, I took over the job at Byton, which also came together by doing a virtual reality presentation for basically the first very important meeting at Byton, showing the first digital prototype. And yeah, that went very well. And the board said, we want to have that all the time. And since then, yeah, that's my occupation. And it's a very interesting job because it's giving yourself a lot of opportunities, a lot of creative freedom to shape an OEM in the making, which is a very exciting journey.
Cool. And just to give the people a little bit more of an insight on what is your day-to-day job? I mean, obviously you have a team with you, you know, you lead a number of people in that regard, but what is it that your team does day in, day out?
So my team is doing actually a various number of jobs, which is part of the exciting part of the job. We don't do only visualization for the design department, as I think at a lot of OEMs is taking place like that. But we basically do everything that our skill set allows us to do, what we can do to help the company growing and evolving and help basically every department in every field with computer graphics, 3D graphics, be it file formats, be it photography, doing videos. So basically everything that most of the 3D guys are also able to do on the side, not maybe very well, but at least a little bit. And we can do everything to help the company grow. And a lot of these fields are getting much more professional now. So basically we're founding new fields everywhere, getting better at everything. Also, yeah, doing videos, doing photography, making our own assets. And of course, also doing the visualization internal for the design department, which is the main job, but also help marketing to come up with very short notice, flexible communication requirements.
As you do in a startup. Everything is short notice in that regard. But so very well, like that gives us a good kind of starting point, I think. And we, you know, Eric and I, when we talk about these things all the time and we talk to people, we get this kind of idea from a lot of the designers in particular that they're saying, you know, they're either digital guys or they're the kind of clay guys. So when it comes to the physical modeling, but VR has been the kind of hype over the past few years in all different kinds of areas. And I think we can also include some kind of augmented reality with that. And I do know that you guys at Byton have an app as well, which is an AR for the car and stuff like that. But from your kind of current experience and from the moment that you started pretty much in Byton, how would you say the importance of VR is within the company / within the design department?
Well, I think it's very important It's not something that is in an experimental stage. I would say it became part of the daily business extremely quickly. I think probably quicker than any technology before was adopted productively very, very quick. And for me, it was very interesting because to be absolutely honest, I'm not the most geeky VR guy. Like it's not... or it wasn't from the beginning what I wanted to do. Like I'm also interested in all fields of computer graphics, of course. It was just that it became so important because that's what people wanted to see every day, because it really helped them with their creative work and shaping the car in that very early stage. It was very satisfying to see how people work with it, and basically that's how we took it from there. More or less adapting to the requirements, which of course is not always the most beautiful result, but that fits the process best.
And how was the reaction of the different people involved? I mean, you know, we have the visualization artists in that kind of regard. We have the digital modelers, we have the clay modelers, we have the designers, of course, as well. How was it adopted by the people? Was there, you know, you had some people just like being, you know, in the sense of like, oh, I don't want to deal with this, or I don't really want to do it. So they were quite adhesive to it. Probably some people would have said like, I really actually like it. How was that for you to interact with all those different kind of people? And how was it then further implemented into the whole process as you grow as a company?
I think this is a very important point because I as I said, it's productive already very much, but the fight is still ongoing as always. Like people have their own opinions about it. And of course there is the camp that want to hold to the traditional hardware process, which is, I think, absolutely important. No question to that. Also, I think everyone that has something to say in our company believes in the classic clay and hardware process, but there are also the people that actually follow the hype very much, and then I would say most of the people are somewhere in between, who found out over the time what's their personal benefit from the technology. And I think the designers are the ones that benefit most from it, and actually the ones that always come to me when they want to see something new that they did. I think the modelers, they enjoy it very much, but they also have the capability of imagining their own models very well. So I think for them the step is not as big as for the designers, who can really see in a very quick manner, like from one day to another, that he has an idea, he draws it, we have a quick poly modeling process, some talented modelers do it very quickly and then they give it to me, and then a few hours later they can see it in VR with some shadows and shaders and nice materials, and this is probably the quickest digital prototyping process, and they love it, of course. Like it's always very pleasing to see a designer seeing his design for the first time in virtual reality, because they usually are very excited about it.
Well, yeah, they're always excited to see their stuff in any kind of environment,
of course.
So from the process, I have a little bit of access to design studios from time to time, and you know, I see virtual reality a lot being used in interiors, especially with seating box and stuff like that. But from within Bytes in design, obviously not talking about details in that kind of sense, but who uses it most? Is it like the interior guys? Is it the exterior guys? Is it also color and trim being involved in it? Or, you know, how would you say the ratio of the usage of VR with the designers in particular?
I would say mostly interior designers, which is logical, of course. It has the most benefit for them. And then also color and trim. Yeah, maybe not for like really fine texture details and advanced shading effects, but more for the overall shaping, the color scheme of the car. They really enjoy like to do maybe just applying the two different big world colors, like what is bright, what is dark, what are the main contrast lines you're looking for. They're very interested in that, and I would really say exterior design is probably the least practical application, so we hardly do that.
Has that just to do because of perspectives that you have with the car, or that, you know, the scale just doesn't fit perfectly well within a VR, or how would you describe that?
I would say it has a number of reasons. The first is that the tracking environment is maybe not big enough. So we always limited to moving around with this digital controllers, which is a little bit uncanny for most of the people, even for the people that have done it some time. Second, the exterior is very reflective, which is sometimes with a low resolution and the real-time render engines leads to bad anti-aliasing. So it's flickering a lot. You have a lot of pixel edges and most of the people. So the visual effect, I would say, is not as pleasing as you would imagine it to be. And then also just because I think an exterior is something that we're all known to, that we see every day on the street. And if you see a very cleanly designed and rendered picture, we get a very good opinion about it. So I think the benefit is in the interior is much bigger when it really comes to roominess perception and ergonomic feeling of the different aspects of a complicated interior.
Yeah. And from your process, I mean, you know, like the design process is not just about like, you know, 2 weeks of sketching and then we do a little bit of modeling and stuff like that. But, you know, when you do a production car, that takes years to kind of take shape and stuff like that. From your perspective, because you're moving so quick in terms of showing first, you know, prototype pretty much, going into production, second car coming pretty much straightforward. How has the usage of VR increased in that process, or maybe even decreased because of, you know, more complicated processes, more engineering involvement and stuff like that?
I would say it's exactly that. It was most important at the beginning of the not only the project, but at the founding of the company, because we started with a blank sheet of paper. We didn't have any old models that we can take as a reference. We didn't have any history. We basically had to design the car in empty space. And that's quite a challenge, actually. And that was the point where the tool was most helpful. And when really every day the update was the most important thing. Like every day the designers wanted to see their changes, wanted to move stuff around and really get a good feeling of it. And I think it actually really helped to gain speed in the beginning. Yeah, because we, especially in the beginning, also resources were limited and we did not have the capacities to do 10 different ergonomy models or seating works. And that was definitely helping. And then when it comes to detailing or just pure styling, when it's just like the door panel is there, you know exactly where the armrest is going to be, exactly where the display is going to be. It's much more about getting high quality renderings and pictures to really get the haptic and feeling about the design, and not so much the proportions and roominess perception.
Yeah. So it's like more than in an early on process.
It was more in an early on process. And then there was, I wouldn't say it stopped, but it definitely became less. Also part that makes my job very interesting, that I'm always doing different processes and tools in different steps of the pipeline, doing much more refined images, and then it comes to presentations, of course. You have to sell the design not only to the public but also to your own board and to all the other departments. And then also augmented reality was usually the tool of choice when it comes to presenting interiors.
And you know, the interesting thing that we see nowadays is the technical advancement as well. So we see, you know, an HTC Vive and an Oculus getting higher resolution screens and stuff like that. You know, the computers, especially the graphics cards nowadays, become more and more powerful. Would you then say, in terms of virtual reality, it with this new technology, it actually finds its way to later processes as well? Because with, you know, certain kind of tools such as Substance nowadays, where you can do really, really high quality materials and stuff, you could technically say, well, maybe we don't need the renderings anymore because we could say the quality with the technology is now getting better. Do you think that's realistic, or are we just not there yet?
I would say it's realistic, but not in the near future. That will probably take longer than you would think now. I think the improvements that we had the last years were really marginal. So the step from the HTC Vive, for example, to the Vive Pro, which really had a bigger resolution, which was not so much of a game changer. Like, all the time when we worked with it, we said, it's already so good. Imagine how good it would be with better resolution. And then HTC delivered just that. They delivered a high resolution in a very short time. And you can see that high resolution, but it doesn't change the experience at all. We were hoping that the better resolution would lead to using it more in interface design, that you could actually do your prototypes, your UI UX prototypes in virtual reality, which we are currently not doing very much because of the resolution, because you cannot read text, you cannot clearly see detailed lines or these finer aspects of interface design. It helps to see, okay, maybe I can see it, it's big enough, it's clear enough, but when it really comes to refining an interface, it doesn't help at all. And I was hoping that I could solve that problem with the Vive Pro, but it didn't really help. It's definitely better, but it's still not there yet.
So what do you think is the future then in terms of, when we talk about car design and all the technical advancements we have, you know, right behind us is the Genesis Essentia, which was pretty much done in 3D only. They only had one, you know, one model to check pretty much if everything was all right, but it was pretty much done digitally. Do you think the broad mass will be able to do that? And, you know, we have things such as Gravity, which I know you guys are using to a certain, like you're trying it out at the moment internally as well. Do you think that VR will just change in terms of the use, so that you say like the designers will do a 3D sketch, like, you know, within VR, or where do you see the future realistically in the next like, 2, 3, 4, 5 years with VR in a design department?
I would say it will definitely change it. I think there's no question that it will change the way that people are designing cars. But I wouldn't say that it will be the only way to design a car. I think it's with every new technology, you should not forget about the positive aspects of the old technologies and the old workflows. And the good thing is that you can always do both.
Yeah.
I mean, we have Photoshop and, I don't know, a lot of sketching programs already since years now, and people are still drawing on paper.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing with augmented reality. There will always be people who are talented in directly working in virtual reality. For example, we have a young designer who's really good at it, and he was the only person so far who actually did a car sketch purely in virtual reality, and it was totally feasible. It was really good, well thought sketch and good process. But for a lot of other people, it's not the right way to do it. So there will always be different approaches to different demands, but I think it will definitely help a lot.
Yeah. Well, do you think, you know, from the perspective of you competing with the big boys, BMW, Mercedes, Audi, and stuff like that, do you think that virtual reality could actually help you to have a quicker process, or like a quicker progress in terms of how to develop your cars? Because I mean, obviously you're much smaller. So like, you know, the interaction is much quicker, and like, you know, the hierarchy levels are not there yet in terms of just a company per se. But do you think that VR in the long term could also help you to kind of beat those guys in terms of speed? Or is that then still going back into like clay, for example, where you just, you know, need certain amount of time?
Well, it should. I think you cannot get the amount of craftsmanship that people are looking for in a German designed car without a good clay process. I think this will take a long time, but it definitely helped us to gain speed in the beginning. There's no question about it. We were really fast utilizing virtual reality, but of course the big OEMs are also using it, and they're also not stupid, and they also have smart people working there working on good processes and tools, and they usually have more budget. So I've seen an excellent example of a very cool virtual reality seating bug that a big OEM did, and of course it's very impressive what those guys are doing as well. So I think it will change the industry in general. And maybe we are able to benefit from it a little bit more because we don't have so much old processes that people are sticking to, like old timelines and certain gateways that have to be fulfilled in a certain way. But apart from that, I think everybody is using the technology to his biggest advantage.
Yeah. I mean, this is the interesting thing from what we see, because if we look into Alias, for example, Alias is a very, very much a car tool. Like there are some other industries that use it, but because it has a certain kind of price, let's say it's car only and the kind of surfacing that is needed and stuff. But so there's very little interaction with other industries in that sense. How is that for you guys with VR? I mean, you know, not just within the car industry, like, you know, do you exchange, and like, do you have new plugins and stuff like that? Do you talk to the fashion industry? Do you talk to the retail industry and those kind of people to get new ideas how to use it? Or how is the interaction within the community that then, you know, maybe an industry such as the car industry can benefit from?
Well, I think the most interesting part is, of course, the game industry, because virtual reality is coming from the game industry and has developed in the game industry. I think it's probably the only example of an industry tool that for years the most professional B2B companies didn't come up with a professional solution. Yeah. And then suddenly the consumer product was the way to go. Yeah. And a very, like, comparatively into in B2B business, cheap product became the ultimate tool.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely interesting, and probably the way where another industry already influenced the automotive industry to a very big amount. And it's still the game industry where all the plugins and tools and workflows are coming from, which is interesting and sometimes also challenging, because most of the tools we use, for example, when we use Unity or Unreal to realize our visualizations, you see that it's not a tool that has been designed for automotive industry, for heavy data, for cut data, also for the demands that we have by visualizing things very quickly. Like, we're not developing a game that has month and years of development time. I have maybe 2 hours to deliver something for a spontaneous presentation. And all that has not been thought through. That's maybe the way that we can influence the game industry. And I think it's already happening, like Unity and Unreal, they're coming up with their own CAD importers and tessellation algorithms and really try to push in that direction. And on the other hand, automotive industry, I think, is completely changing their tool set. I think that software, like real-time software, as it used to be used in the automotive industry, will not be around anymore in the future. Like, this will probably die out. Like, that would be my thesis, that companies like VRED and DeltaGen will have a problem in the future because they cannot keep up with the OpenGL graphic development of the big engines.
I mean, from that kind of perspective, we know that especially Alias, when it comes from an Autodesk background, you know, is pushing to implement VRED into Alias. They were kind of, you know, a lot of the modelers said, like, you know, make it a proper hybrid program and stuff like that. Do you think that could be a solution to kind of say we do a model, quick visualization within the modeling tool for that kind of programs to survive? Because, I mean, I think VRED has the kind of really, really nice integration with Alias and stuff like that. And obviously DeltaGen is part of Dassault and stuff like that. So do you think that just like then the modeling, so you have the real time becomes actually part of the modeling per se, and that the role of the modeler changes a little bit, but at the same time, the role of the visualization artist changes in terms of then, you know, we're doing it with the Unity, we're doing it with Unreal, and that they have to program maybe a little bit as well from their own.
I think that's a very realistic forecast. Like, I think it's already happening. Alias integrated virtual reality viewer, VRED and DeltaGen as well. And I think that, I mean, we use that programs a lot at the moment, especially for the work in progress visualizations that have to go quickly, because you can directly import your Alias model into VRED and then directly show it in virtual reality without any further adjustment. But then you're very limited in tweaking it and getting the ultimate presentation experience. That's the biggest downside of it. And for everything that has to be a little bit more sophisticated, we then switch into Unity to program our own functions and presentation features and animations to make it fully interactive. And this is the way to go, that it's going to split in these two directions as it is right now, or the game engines will really follow up by the whole data converting issues and get also the leader in that field, because that's basically everything we use DeltaGen and VRED for at the moment, to tessellate our data, to convert our data and not to show it.
It's quite expensive.
Well, but it's still the best tool for it. I mean, there's nothing comparably on the market. And it's still much, much better than what Unity and Unreal has come up with so far.
Yeah. You said something very interesting earlier in terms of that within your role at Byton, and I think this makes it a little bit special within, let's say, the whole idea of working in a startup, is you have an involvement with the marketing team as well. And, you know, we all know that design and marketing, they love and hate each other at the same time. There's a lot of, let's say, conflict, but also a lot of love for each other. How can we imagine, like, you know, the design team helping out marketing? Is it literally that you're going to do the job a marketing agency would do? Or what is it that exactly we can imagine with that design, or like the design department helps marketing with?
I think it's much more, and this is something that we discuss a lot about, because it's not only, probably we cannot deliver the highest quality of animations and images for them, because an agency that is really specialized in that might be still better at that, but we can also deliver a lot of information and also a much quicker process, because usually a car is developed and then the surfaces are getting into engineering, and then engineering at some point gives it to marketing, and then marketing gives it to an agency, and then the agency does not really know where to get the information from. For example, for materials, textures, configuration variants. And that's usually one of the biggest challenges that the agencies have, or what also I discovered when I was working for an agency, to gather the important information. And I think that's probably the biggest field where we can help out, because we know the car in the very beginning. We exactly know the product and all the materials, and we can also take care about product correctness. And therefore, I think deliver a quicker process.
From moving on a little bit, you know, or thinking further ahead, because we, you know, we see the idea of virtual reality, of augmented reality moving into industry 4.0, you know, and all these kind of into engineering as well, like different kind of ideas how this new technology could you know, could help the process as a whole. Do you see that, or do you think that actually the visualization department could outgrow a general kind of design idea and become its own department, and then literally be like almost like an internal supplier for all these other departments to kind of, you know, have further advancements, further kind of new ideas that that might help, you know, manufacturing, that might help a development process? Because, you know, we're talking very specific at the moment, but from everything that you've told us so far, it's like there's almost no limit to it, you know?
I think so. If, I mean, the question is then how you define it. I think the biggest, the biggest advantages that we have is that we really love software and technological advancement in general, like in computer graphics. And then, of course, we're probably the first ones who really see changes. For example, when everyone was starting to render with graphic cards instead of CPUs anymore, simulation was not doing it. And now it's coming also to the simulation field, that that simulation software is run on the GPU. And now also, for example, with the new NVIDIA chips and the whole topic of real-time ray tracing, of course, we are the first ones to think like, oh, that could be very interesting, for example, for reflection calculation and ergonomic studies and improving these kind of things in a car, because we usually get thrown that, that topic to like, give me a picture that shows all the reflections of the windshield. And this is definitely part, like a lot of fields that that come to mind where you could improve the whole process with computer graphics. But then of course the other departments also have people who really are into software and and changing things, and I think that the exchange again is probably the most important aspect to and improve the pipeline.
And the bigger the company, the more complicated that will be in those regards. But so before we're going to finish this all off, and I, you know, to kind of come to an end, but I wanted to ask you something. Where do you see, in especially in terms of a design department, the limitations of virtual reality, maybe also augmented reality? And of course, where do you think it just stops being helpful and it might become a liability for the problem, you know, for the project?
I think augmented reality has a very clear downside. Usually when we deliver augmented reality for presentations, you realize that the people are not talking about the product anymore. They're only talking about the technology. So the technology comes the main aspect of the presentation. Is it working? Is it not working? Is it good? Does it help? Like everybody's just talking about the tool and not about the product. And that's something that's completely different with virtual reality. And that's why I like it much more, because when you show something to somebody in virtual reality, he maybe is awed first in the beginning by the virtual reality, but then immediately starts talking about the product always. Like usually when we put the goggles on maybe our CEO or design chief, he's always like, oh, that looks very good. Amazing. You made a good progress there. But then he stops and talks about the product. And this is the biggest advantage of virtual reality over augmented reality. And then the biggest downside about virtual reality is that you do it only by yourself. You're always excluded from the environment, and this is something very awkward for a lot of people, and that's the biggest downside that that we experienced in especially bigger presentations. Then when somebody puts on the goggles, he's cut off from the world, and there's a lot of people around him waiting for him to say something smart. Yeah. And that's a very uncomfortable situation that especially people who are not used to it try to avoid. And then they actually don't even want to put it on at all, or they want to get rid of it immediately and don't actually have the opportunity to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I think when augmented reality and virtual reality really come together and you can have the best of the both worlds, like you're not alone anymore, you see your actual environment, but you also see the augmented virtual reality, it will then be another big step to improve it.
So what would that next step be? Would it be a hologram?
Well, maybe a perceived hologram, but I think what the HoloLens and other solutions like the Meta are already proposing, that you have the virtual reality goggle on and still see the real environment, would definitely help.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like minor limitations, like cables and tracking size.
Or backpacks.
I think it's nothing that we worry about too much, because this is going to improve anyway and probably faster than the other problems.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to be very, very excited to see what's going to happen with all of that, because, you know, like we have all these discussions, especially with clay modelers, that are worried about the digital side. But I think, you know, there will always be a physical model, but, you know, we will probably see more technological advancement, especially within the car industry, and probably the car industry will want to be the last ones to pick up on everything. But thank you very much for coming, for joining us today, Quirin. So if you ever want to get in touch with Quirin, you'll find him on LinkedIn, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
We will obviously link you with all everything, you know, we will mention you on Instagram and stuff like that as well. So if you're ever interested in having a further conversation with him, you will get the opportunity and chance to do that. And so thank you very much, my friend, for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. And we want to thank you for listening as well. And if you have any questions, any comments, you know, anything that you would like to ask us for certain kind of other special episodes in the future, do DM us, do send us messages, whatever you want us, you know, to any kind of official kind of way we have with social media, email, whatever. And thanks for listening, and we will hear each other very, very soon. Take care.
Goodbye.
Thank you.